Hi, this is Jeannie Driscoe and the Art and Soul of Healing. Today, on the wings of Alliance for Natural Health, USA, we will be traveling to New York City to visit with Dr. Jeffrey Morrison. Jeffrey is a medical doctor who focuses on preventing and reversing degenerative and chronic diseases by emphasizing nutrition, lifestyle, and targeted treatments to enhance the body's innate ability to heal and detoxify itself. Jeffrey has special training in environmental medicine and focuses his practice in integrative, functional, and environmental medicine. He has written Cleanse Your Body, Clear Your Mind, a book to guide you through the detoxification process. Let's welcome Dr. Jeffrey Morrison. Well, welcome, Jeffrey, to the Art and Soul of Healing.
Thank you, Jeannie, for having me. It's a pleasure and honor. I'm so thrilled to reconnect with you. So thank you very much.
Well, it's been a pleasure knowing you and working with you over these past 15 years. You know, we knew each other from ACAM, and I feel fortunate just to have stayed in touch with you.
So. Well, I'm honored as well. Honestly, I've learned a lot from you in the past, and so many people have benefited from what you've done and throughout your medical career. So I'm just following in your footsteps.
All right, right. So how did you become interested in integrative medicine as a classically trained medical doctor?
I, as you suggested, I did get trained as family practice, and I was very fortunate as part of my residency program at Harrisburg Hospital in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, there was a environmental medicine doctor who was a family practice doctor that I had the opportunity to first rotate with and learn from. And then I practiced with him for 2 years in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Hmm. And that kind of really started me on my journey to recognize the importance of environmental medicine for total body health. Mm-hmm. But even more so to begin to recognize that a person is not just a symptom complex. There's a person behind it, and there are causes for those symptoms. And through environmental medicine, that's one avenue to help begin to understand how to look for underlying causes that are causing a person to feel the way that they're feeling.
Absolutely. You know, I didn't know that about you, that environmental medicine and detoxification started early in your career, but it makes sense. You really hit the ground running, unlike the rest of us who had to piece it together as we went.
Well, and also, you know, we're always still learning at this point. It's remarkable mm-hmm. what's happening right now. And mm-hmm. as much as I thought that I knew back then, now I just feel like there's so much more understanding and better treatments available and better options, both for food and mindfulness and supplements. It's just, and then with now peptides and so many treatments available for patients that have really struggled for so many years with their chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, chronic digestive issues, or just with their overall, you know, metabolism issues and things like that. So thank goodness we are living today to be able to be part mm-hmm. of this exciting mm-hmm. process.
Well, you've written a book, Cleanse Your Body, Clean Your Mind, that gives readers a clear understanding of the detoxification process, the approach. So when did you really become aware of the detrimental effects of man-made chemicals?
Well, as part of my training with this environmental medicine doctor, John Sullivan in Pennsylvania, he put me on the road with, in addition to ACAM, it was also AAEM, the American Academy of Environmental Medicine. And through them is when I learned from Bill Ray and all the other doctors that were the leaders, Butch Schrader, and, you know, I got Bill Ray's 3-volume out of 4-volume encyclopedia of environmental medicine. And so I learned from that organization and ACAM. And from that, I began to start to piece to, and also other people that unfortunately, like a lot of our the fathers of environmental medicine have unfortunately been passing away. But anyway, it's really been learning about how detoxification from chemicals and foods and even emotional toxins and how important that is in order to help a person to be able to cleanse their body, so to speak, so that they can not only clear their mind, but also get whatever toxins that are affecting their body's process of functioning properly.
Well, where are these exposures, these toxicants coming from?
I usually categorize it as plastics, pesticides, and preservatives. And those are like the chemicals in the environment that are the big ones.
That's good. Those P's.
Three P's. Mm-hmm. And so the plastics obviously has become a big issue. And today it's just mind-boggling how much past plastic pollution that we have. Ugh. And we're only able to recycle maybe like 10 to 20% of the plastics.
And it's reduced because of the cheap oil now. They're just making more and more rather than recycling.
And, you know, you hear about it now because a lot of these plastics are starting to end up on beaches that used to be pristine. But you also hear about it because those plastics start to get broken down into microplastics and they're starting to find it in our waters. So like anybody who's drinking out of a plastic bottle is like those ancient wells, there's microplastics that are in our water that we are drinking from our plastic bottles. And so that's a major source of plastic exposure. And then the pesticides are, you know, anytime we're eating non-organic foods, and unfortunately, even organic foods, because of air currents, our foods are getting coated with pesticides that have an adverse impact on our health. And then preservatives, basically all processed foods are, unfortunately, there's preservatives in them. And unless we are making organic food daily, we're going to get exposed. And then it's kind of like a total load effect. And that's really what environmental medicine is about, is that probably we all can tolerate a certain amount, but there's a threshold with which every individual will somehow pass. And then the body no longer is able to function properly. And that's when things start breaking down and degeneration occurs. Mm-hmm. That's when a person's more susceptible to like heart disease and high blood pressure and diabetes. You know, there's a very obvious and well-researched relationship between persistent organic pollutants, which are endocrine disruptors in fish, and type 2 diabetes, insulin resistance. And then, of course, like even more chronic conditions like chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, and then chronic degenerative conditions, like there's relationships to Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, et cetera.
It's really frightening, isn't it? So there's such a multitude of chronic disease that's associated with this.
Chronic, as many modern conveniences as our society has brought us, it has also brought with it some consequences, and that is modern diseases, which are chronic diseases. And you can easily make the argument, well, maybe we didn't live as long 100 years ago, so we didn't get chronic diseases. But 100 years ago, it was a different type of pollution. It was just coal, basically, or oil. Mm-hmm. Now it's coal and oil plus. And our bodies are not capable of managing everything.
And are conventionally trained doctors aware of these problems?
Conventionally trained doctors are, I believe, becoming much more aware of it because there's been a clear association with many cancers and chemicals in the environment. So oncologists are aware about it. And then cardiologists are becoming more aware about how chemicals in the environment are affecting blood pressure and heart disease. But it's not thought of as a solution. It's thought of as a problem that is just the way it is. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. we don't want to accept that. We acknowledge that there is a life that we are all living, but we also want people to recognize that there are things that we can do, whether it's diet modification or exercise or mindfulness or supplements, that can really help to change the trajectory of one's health through a guided lifestyle and detoxification process.
Mm-hmm. So if an environmentally ill patient sees their primary care physician with all of these various complaints, they may not even know where to begin. So I think one of the jobs that you need to do further is raise awareness through your book, which I will put a link to that book on the Art and Soul of Healing website. I think it's going to be very important. And I think it's a good resource for physicians that are just getting into this, just trying to understand it.
So. Truthfully, Cleanse Your Body, Clear Your Mind was written for everyday people. It, mm-hmm. admittedly, it's just kind of distilling like all of the great work that the predecessors that came before mm-hmm. me created. Like most of this is really sort of picked out from Bill Ray's textbook on environmental medicine and just made into a very easily digestible format. So people don't feel overwhelmed. And there used to be a time when people would hear about environmentalism and just throw their hands in the air and be like, so what? But now we know there's things to do.
Yes. And honestly, I think physicians that are just putting the toe in the water need that simply distilled approach. So thank you for that book. So I want to talk to you about how you approach detoxification. First of all, what is your definition of toxicity? I think that might be a good place to start.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's obviously blood tests that could be drawn, which actually I cannot do in New York State, that would demonstrate certain types of toxins from the environment.
I forgot about that. New York State's requirements.
So anyway, there's chemicals that can be found in the bloodstream and heavy metals as well. But it's not so much the chemical and the heavy metal as it is the effect of an accumulation of multiple types of exposures that soon lead to dysfunction in the body. So toxicity is more of a clinical diagnosis and an observation than it is a diagnosis based on any lab value, mm-hmm. because everybody has kind of a little bit of a different presentation. And the typical signs of tick toxicity, and by the way, in my book, I have a very good questionnaire that people can fill out that can give them a clue about whether they have symptoms related to toxicity, which could be like fatigue, difficulty concentrating, quote unquote, brain fog, not feeling well rested when they wake up in the morning, changes in mood, not inability to lose weight, sort of like always having that like fluid retention or weight gain in the midsection, chronic allergy symptoms like asthma or hives or reactions. And then certain types of medical conditions like heart disease, neurodegenerative conditions, and even though I don't take care of patients with cancer, oftentimes patients with cancer have some levels of toxicity that has contributed to this, the opportunity for cancer to exist. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's it.
Well, I know that you approach it very cautiously, systematically, and I believe you start obviously with your questionnaire that you mentioned, which is so important, but I think you look at the nutritional aspects when approaching it as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. When after we go through our exam, our history and physical, when we are approaching a patient for helping them recognize that they have toxicity, oftentimes we'll introduce them to the option of doing a little bit of a detox diet. And I kind of use the term detox diet because it had been very popular over the years because of celebrity endorsements, et cetera. And we've done outcome studies on our version of the detox diet, where we've written an article about our outcomes, which we found when a person did this detox diet, they felt 66% better after 30 days. And if weight loss was a goal, they usually lost about like 6 to 7 pounds in 30 days. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so the big thing is that symptom survey score would improve really significantly. And that was kind of like my magic thing is, okay, let's start with a detox diet. Anybody can do that. Mm-hmm. And it's for our version, we did use a protein and we still do use a protein shake as a meal replacement once a day. And then it's really an elimination diet to mm-hmm. avoid inflammatory foods. And all of this is detailed in the book. And it's also on our website. And it's really kind of avoiding grains, dairy, and sugar. That's kind of like in a nutshell. And focusing on lean protein, lots of vegetables for lunch and dinner. And generally people, when they first do it, they feel a little bit worse during the transition of the first week. But then afterwards, there's like the brain clarity gets better, energy gets better. And that's one of our pillars. So we look at the meal plan, movement, exercise, because sweating is very important for detoxification. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you more about that in a minute, about the sweating and other approaches. Yes. Have you seen I know there are some people who are very aggressive in their approach to detoxification. Have you seen problems when treating patients who had come from other clinics?
You know, so detoxification needs to be taken it should be done with somebody who knows what they're doing, because it is definitely possible to do it too fast and in the wrong way. And unfortunately, I've learned from my own mistakes. If a person gets started on too many detoxification, either supplements or treatments, they can just stir up the pot. Mm-hmm. And that means whatever toxins that their body has stored, and the body naturally will store toxins in fat to get it out of circulation, so it helps to protect the body. Once it's stored in fat, it's kind of in a safe place, but detoxification will bring it out of the fat, put it back in the circulation. And if a person's ability to remove it through stool or through urine is inhibited for many reasons, all that happens is that those toxins just start spreading around and causing a lot of inflammation, like worse brain fog, worse fatigue, worse achiness. So it really needs to be a guided process and taken in steps.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I like your specific approach through the organ systems, and particularly you start with the skin. You mentioned the sweat. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So the largest organ in the body, which everybody knows, is the skin. This is a reminder. And the nice thing about the skin is that it has so many bad things that it's doing, but it sweats. Carries toxins with it. So sometimes if a person is a little bit overloaded and their liver and kidneys are not prepared to handle detoxification, sometimes starting at in a sauna at a very low level. And when I'm saying sweating for a low level, I mean literally just sweating 8 minutes, 3 times a week. Which means maybe no more than 20 minutes in the sauna. And it does not need to be the high heat sauna. It could be the infrared low heat sauna, mm-hmm. but either one works. Mm-hmm. And if a person does 8 minutes of sweating, They are carrying toxins out. They take a shower and wipe off the sweat so that they don't get, those toxins don't get reabsorbed.
Oh, such a good point. I'm glad you mentioned that. But what happens to the skin if the body cannot detoxify?
So if a person gets past a certain level of toxicity, then a person will start noticing that their skin looks pale. They get something called mottling on the skin, which looks like red streaks going through the skin with white patches. And it's a sign that their body is losing even more capacity to detoxify because it's, you know, because you're right. Some people that are toxic, they can't sweat. And that's partly mm-hmm. because their nervous system has also gotten overactivated. They're what we call sympathetic dominant, or they're constantly, their body's going into fight or flight, which is not how a person detoxifies. A person needs to be in the parasympathetic rest and relax state. And the skin is one of the organs where you will see that that this is affected.
Mm. Well, you also focus on the upper airway and the lungs. Can you highlight some of the important points of those two organ systems?
Well, obviously, breathing in fresh air and breathing out carbon dioxide is very important, but the real importance of the breathing, and that's why exercise is so good for deep breathing, is that by moving the diaphragm up and down, it's basically pumping the lymphatic system. And also, is moving the muscles, is pumping the lymphatic system, which is the body's sewage system.
Yeah, I know that you call it that. You know, we forget about the lymphatic system, but it's so important. Can you describe what that means, the sewage system?
Well, you know, everybody knows about the arteries and veins, which carry blood around the body. The arteries carry oxygenated blood. The veins carry deoxygenated blood. But there's another system of circulation called the lymphatic system, which carries lymph fluid. And lymph fluid has two main purposes. One is, I call it the sewage system, because really that's where toxins will end up. Every single one of our cells, by the way, is constantly producing waste. That's just the natural thing it does, because there's a lot of byproducts of cellular metabolism. Hence, that's why some people are finding that intermittent fasting is helpful, because it gives a longer opportunity for cells to clear out toxins that have accumulated. When the toxins get out of the cell, they go into the interstitial fluid, which is the spaces in between cells. And then that filters into the lymphatic system. And from there, the lymphatic system is also part of our immune system. So that's where lymph nodes are present. And the lymph nodes are little sentinels. They're like little towers of immune support mm-hmm. that are constantly observing what is in our body. So they help us to fight off viruses and bacterial infections. If anybody's ever had strep throat, they know they get swollen lymph nodes. So they know what the lymphatic system is. And that's, if the lymphatic system gets clogged up, the immune system gets backed up. And that's when a person becomes really susceptible to chronic viral infections. You know, no better time to talk about it now when we've got a pandemic going on. But the point is there's things we can do to make our body work better. And that's why I go back to breathing and exercise as a way to help start, and sweating, to clear out the lymphatic system. And then there's, you know, lymphatic drainage, and, you know, there's certain homeopathic remedies that help. But for the most part, people can at least start with that, and it makes a big difference.
And then I know you talk about dry brushing for the lymphatic system. Can you describe what dry brushing is?
Dry brushing is literally using a loofah or a soft cloth and placing it on the skin and lightly brushing the arms from the hand to the shoulders and on the legs from the ankles to the groin and make sure you get each of the four quadrants of the limbs with the purpose of assisting the lymphatic system's normal process. So if a person's very healthy, just exercise will fix this, will do lymphatic drainage. But when a person gets congested, or if they feel like they're having fluid retention, if a person's ever noticed like puffy hands or puffy feet, or they feel like they're holding onto fluid retention, dry brushing while in the shower really helps to clear the lymphatic system manually. Mm-hmm. So it's like an assistive, and by the way, there's lymphatic drainage specialists that really can even enhance that process. And it really is remarkable for people to speed up the clearing of their lymphatic system, which often helps with clearing their mind, helping with their energy, helping with the fluid retention, decreasing risk for infections.
Mm-hmm. Great. And of course, our kidneys are crucial. Describe how you see their function in detoxification.
So the kidneys are the skin is a big organ of detoxification. The liver is probably the biggest internal organ of detoxification. And then the kidneys would be like the third organ of detoxification. It's mostly actually involved with detoxifying like things that we put in our body, like prescription medications exit through the kidneys, many chemicals and exit through the kidneys, but its main job is not meant to be detoxification, but it gets stressed when the liver is overloaded. And when the liver isn't able to capture the toxin, bind it up and neutralize it and package it in a way that helps to clear it, the toxins end up still in a toxic state going to the kidneys for removal. And the problem with that is that it's going to cause symptoms. Like this, if the kidneys are starting to be used as an organ of detoxification, a person's going to notice frequent urination or irritation in the organs of urination, like chronic urinary tract infections when there's no infection, you know, because there are irritants exiting through the bladder and through the urethra.
That's really important to understand. Well, why do some people never seem affected while others are so very sensitive?
The part of it is basically just genetics, and some of it is good luck. It's remarkable how some people really just have a great capacity to manage whatever toxins are coming in their environment. By the way, it's sometimes not always a full blessing, because they're not cognizant of what's happening to their bodies. And then they're overlooking signs of dysfunction. And then unfortunately, some of those people end up having problems because it becomes a big issue. Mm-hmm. So when a person, and so I say that for the sensitive people, it's actually a little bit of a blessing in disguise, because they're sensitive to how their body's being affected by things in the environment, and they can take proactive steps. Now, of course, when a person's chemically sensitive or has a lot of food sensitivities, it's very annoying, and a person doesn't want to feel that way all the time. But at least generally, those are some of my healthiest patients. And then we just work on helping to retrain their immune system, which is basically what needs to be done.
Yeah, that's so interesting. We will stop at this point on the Art and Soul of Healing interview with Dr. Jeffrey Morrison and pick up next time in the detoxification process. Until then, thank you, Alliance for Natural Health USA, for standing in the gap for our health freedoms and making these types of therapies possible.